C1A, number 20B.
Wait, is something broken? Well, you see, it is that point where we take off right from the beginning the limits of our mind, where we don't go to a God with a little thing, but with the allness. God is all and cannot be belittled. And if we belittle God, it isn't God. So here we have, what is the motive for prayer? He says, do we pray to make ourselves better? Well, that's usually what we do. But that, she answers, says, that isn't prayer. She says, prayer isn't that we make ourselves prayer. She says, that prayer is answered which goes forth hungering after life, that will be blessed of. Can you see the bigness of prayer? So our thought and desire says, go out to the allness and infinitude of God. And let that give you the reward. And let that define and determine the reward. So, you see, if prayer is a state, is an attitude, which really should be present morning, noon, and night, the chapter on prayer doesn't apply to 5 minutes at the evening before we go to bed, or whenever you want to pray. It's an attitude towards being. It's an attitude of manhood. It's an attitude which stays with us. And we are in a prayerful attitude, and we need to stay in a prayerful attitude because it's a part of manhood, prayer. That attitude says, well, always have your mind as wide, as widely open as you can. For what? To seek God in his allness and not in his littleness. To seek God, to seek the nomenon of being and not the phenomena of being. We always have that touch in this chapter of prayer that always directed to the nomenon of being. And we let the nomenon of being determine the phenomena. Then we have seen having opened our minds to the allness of being, we have the second subject, which is a very important step to my sense. Because we know from experience, we know ourselves so well by now, we know that if we open our sense God and seek God, the very next step the human mind asks us to do or come in and says, what does that give me now? That's usually the second motion that comes in. That if I open my mind to God, the next thing that the human mind talks to me, it's really the serpent that talks to me and says, now what do you get out of it? And so the second step comes in and says, but the second step is not asking what do I get. The second step says the divine being must be reflected by man. And then comes the whole subject, which is how we reflect that allness. How the second step is really to reflect God, and that is the blessing. That the blessing we get is not something from outside, but that which we put into it. And so the divine being must be reflected by man. And she gives the whole thing through the seven satsangs, how through consecration, gratitude, love, patience, meekness, obedience, and so on, through requesting the best spiritual qualities, we really begin to reflect that God. It doesn't say anything about getting that. You remember, that's why I like those thousand-year periods. In the first thousand-year period, the allness of creation was presented in its positive and negative light. And the first motion that came in of the evil in the second thousand-year period was, now, what can I do with that? How can I now marry or wed the spiritual with the human? And it's that question of how the angels of the heaven were married the sons of men, something like that. And all what grew out of it were just giants of materiality. It's the biggest sense of materiality which always comes in right there and says, what does that divinity do to the material situation? How does it bless the material? But the second stage is spiritual devotion, spiritual worship, where the best spiritual qualities we can mobilize must be put into the stage. Just as Noah did it, he just put the best he had into his ark and pitched it so that nothing else could enter. And so here we see here the order which is so necessary, that we don't sidestep the order and see that there is a principle of prayer. So here we get that sense that the second step is that we love the teaching of the first subject, that we just put all our adoration into it, all the best qualities we have put into it, that we just expect from the teaching the best we have, that we are just a mother to it, where we are hopeful and meek and patient and tender, what this new birth will do and will bring. And so we came, you see, to the third subject, where we said, but we cannot speculate with that. The third subject says, well, there must be a sense of reformation, a sense of sincerity. We cannot do it to one time and not the other time. We cannot do it when it pleases us and not do it when it doesn't please us. There must be a definite rule about it. There must be some definiteness within us that says, I stick it out in this way. I go along this way of praying, and I don't let this sidetrack by anything else. That right at the beginning, by the measure you meet, you shall be measured again. I think that's the English rendering. What is the measure? The measure you meet, shall, with that measure we shall be measured again. What shall be the measure? Shall it be as little as this? Shall it be as little that it only concerns my human well-being, my human problem, my own life? Well, then it isn't a measure of God. And Paul comes in and defines that measure. Says, well, if we have the measure which is called God, the whole of God, the whole Word of God, then we can see that we are sincere and stick to the whole Word of God. Then we have the bigness of it. Then the whole Word of God can bless us, and the whole Word of God is going to manifest itself within us. So again, that measure must be big. See how in other sciences, they do that quite naturally. A mathematician, he isn't interested, is 355 multiplied by 267 is so and so much. He isn't interested in that. He is interested in knowing the principle of mathematics. That's what he's interested in. He's interested in finding the laws of multiplication and not the result of one of the million multiplications. His whole being is defined towards seeking to the divine principle, to the principle of mathematics, and taken that over into our realm of metaphysics, we see that prayer is that which must take in the whole measure. And if we measure God in his wholeness, then we touch wholeness, and only then we can be whole. And because she could see that our measure should be whole, she shows in the fourth subject that we shouldn't limit this wholeness in any way, in a personal way. That we limit it either just to thinking or to speaking. But here she says, no, our whole being, our whole personality, divine personality, the true sense of personality, our whole personality, which consists of thinking, loving, pondering, feeling, speaking, acting, that all that must be one personality, and that all that must be directed to that one prince. Here we have seen that it is a sense of hypocrisy if only outwardly we profess to seek the one principle and inwardly we don't do it. The whole personality must be integrated, so to say. Principle is that which holds everything together. And so here the whole personality must be in harmony, must be in concordance and brought into concordance with the one principle. She makes it quite clear here, something which we have to remember over and over, that not only in our thinking we can think principally and principle, but that our motives must be principled, that our lives must be principled, that our feelings must be principled, that our actions must be principled, so that everything which constitutes a personality is in accord, in harmony with that principle. And because because principle has this high demand, this high standard, it's a very high standard, really, she can say, therefore, well, do you really love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, you see, in its whole entirety. And then she goes on and says, yes, if you do, then you must be willing to let principle do with you what principle wants to do with you. Then you must let, and you must be willing to let that principle give an answer to you which is principle and not according to our wishes. That's the crux, you say. See, here in principle of life, we have in principle, it comes to the summit of prayer, that's a side note, and then in principle of life, it comes to the crux of it, where we can see, you see, that principle is not at all interested in fulfilling our desires, in fulfilling our wish, in fulfilling our. That principle is only interested in fulfilling principle. And here the crux comes in, where she says, are you willing to let yourself be used by this principle? That's only when we have that point, then only we are prepared for the fifth subject in prayer. In the fifth subject in prayer, where she compares that superficial faith in this infinite God and compares it with that deepest, unselfish, conscientious love for God, she shows that every faith in God can have an effect. That faith healing is not something supernatural or something which can be denied. But she shows that faith healing and belief healing, benevolence, hypnosis, healing, and so on, that revolves only in its own realm. It only revolves in the realm of the human mind, where one belief of the human mind governs another belief of the human mind, and where one belief of the human mind governs the body. But it's always revolving in its own realm of the human mind, where it hasn't touched being, where it hasn't touched the principle of being. Only as we fulfill the fourth subject of being a principle personality, willing to be used by the principle, only then we touch that deep-rooted sense of life, where we touch life, real life, which is God. And only that life, she says, only that brings us any further. All the rest, that all that superficial belief, which only goes on in the thinking, in the belief spaces or planes, that only revolves on its own plane and can never bring about life. It says that petitions bring to mortals only the effect of mortals' own belief, revolves in the plane of belief. So let's be clear about that. See, that we are not fooled by effect. Only that which goes down to principle, and then in life lets itself be used by principle as really the touch of life, as really a constructive effect. That alone has a living power. And then she comes to, we saw that she came to the sixth subject, where she could show that if we would stay on the basis of belief in God, that we would never get rid of the human fears and doubts that accompany such a belief, and that we could never grasp the wonders of love. But on the other side, if, as she always says, if you go back to the Father, if you go to the Father, if you go to life, to being, and if we let ourselves be used by being and affirm this Father, then we have the effect of the Father, and we have the true Son. And there it is where he says, where Jesus said, the work that I do, ye shall do also, because I go to the Father. Shows that he could have put it the other way, could have said, because I go to the Father, and because you can go to the Father, you and I can do the works of the Father. He showed that there is nothing mystical about being, but that it is something very natural. The only thing which is necessary is to see the law. The law which says, first go to life, to the well of life, to the source of life, and then suck from that source. Feed yourself on that source. And then, as we feed it, we take it in, and we take it in, and we take it in. And the more we feed ourselves from the Father, the more we take in the Father, and the more the Father abides in us, and we have the Son. That sixth subject, you remember how she always said, well, that's what we have to do. We have to get away from the body, be absent from the body, and be present with the Lord, with the Father, to become conscious of life of the Father, and then we can do the work. That changes us. If the inward changes, the outward changes. Sorrow will be turned into joy. If you feel sick, you will find yourself suddenly well. If the inward is filled with the Father, the inward rules out that which is false in us. And it says, therefore, come into the secret, come into the sanctuary of spirit, shut out sinful sins, claim your Father, claim your spiritual inheritance, and you have it. Then she says at the end of that subject, then your prayer is answered. The answer of prayer is not that which we humanly desire should be solved will be solved. She says the answer to that prayer is that we go through these three subjects. She says that's the answer. Did you get that? If you haven't got that, doesn't matter. But take that with you home and think it over and ponder it and love it, even if it takes you months and months and months. What she says is the answer of prayer lies in this, that we go through the ordered subject of the prayer, through the principle of prayer. That's the answer. There is no other answer given. There will be no other sign given than the sign of the prophet Jonah, spiritual resurrection. That we go through that order to the point where we just fill our thoughts, we can fill our thoughts with the affirmation of the Father. And by affirming the Father, we deny error. That's the answer. There is no other answer given. That's the answer. And then she goes to the last subject, 7th, where we have that wonderful glory and bounty. Christians rejoice in full, in bound duty and bounty, which is not known to the world, but which is now known to that spiritual understanding in us, which can value that order of prayer. And then she says, that is that standpoint which covers all human needs. It covers it. It is the answer to all. It's the one answer to all answers. It's just one answer. It's one principle which answers every problem. Just as if we have the one multiplication, the principle of multiplication, we have all multiplication. Without a fitness for holiness, she says, we cannot receive holiness. Well, how can we be fit for holiness except we go through the order of the 7 subjects? That is making us fit for holiness. See, the whole prayer is what she says right in the beginning. She says, we cannot change the harmony of peace. But prayer tends us to bring into harmony with peace. And prayer says to us, well, how can we be brought into the harmony of peace? How can we be made so to blend with the harmony of peace? And she shows it through the seven subjects. And of it she says, and that covers all human needs, and it delivers us from the one evil. Now, see now, the thing, this chapter is enormous. She ends up and says, there is only one evil. Religious sense says in us, oh my word, I have to deal with this evil and that evil and with this disharmony and that disharmony and that problem and that problem. Oh, how can I solve that? What a burden. But the principle of the chapter of prayer is so majestic. It says, you can't pray to anything but to God in His allness. And God in His allness covers all human needs because it delivers us just from one evil, from the evil one. Which is that evil one? What is that evil one? And that evil one, that sin of sin, I think is shown in the next chapter, in the chapter of the Solomon of Eucharist. It is nothing else but the one evil is that we don't accept the principle of prayer. That's the one evil. That we don't accept the principle of prayer. That's the biggest evil and the one evil. Because if we approach God in His wholeness, we have Him in His wholeness. And then He covers all human needs. And then it is free from all evil, from the evil one. And so she ends with the Lord's Prayer. And there again you have that touch. It is all that unselfed love, which just says, well, prayer consists in just going out and reach out for the one Father, and there is everything. For the one principle of being, and there is everything. Our Father, which is in heaven, and then hallowed be thy name. You are the adorable one. There's nothing else beside it to adore. No human problem. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom. Not my wish. Not my kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. No, as it is in heaven. So you get an enormous trust where everything egoistic, the prayer of soul, the prayer which knows no personal ego, just is laid down. And the whole inward attitude goes out for thy kingdom, thy will be done. And then we get all the blessings coming from it. That feeds our famished affection. That frees us. And that brings us out of temptation. Now here we stop for a moment.